Bio-Friendly Podcast. It's the Bio-Friendly Podcast.
Hey, Nolly.
We are in.
How's your meat pie there, buddy?
Yeah, man.
Literally interrupting earbuds. Nolly's lunch right now. Amazing. He's putting his earbuds in.
We both are.
Oh.
This is the kind of magic that we bring.
This is the magic.
This is the kind of top quality content.
Not last week, but the week before you were munching an apple.
I was.
And now what are you munching on, Nolly?
This is a meat pie.
Made a meat pie. The Australian version of Marie Callender's.
Now, it's not exactly. This would be a beef pot pie.
Hmm.
It's a little different.
All right.
Yeah. It's different because you've got chunks of steak.
Chunks of steak.
With a gravy, a little bit of carrot, some onion, and gravy.
Now, Australian meat pies.
Like a stew.
Australian meat pies. Ground beef?
Ground beef. So it's like, it's more like, I don't know, like spaghetti, like a meat sauce.
Oh, sure.
Except instead of, you know, throwing in tomatoes, you put gravy.
Like a gravy.
It's like a stewy liquidy gravy.
Oh no. Gravy with R.
Meanwhile in Swan Hill.
Meanwhile. Yeah. So, you know, it's a reasonable imitation.
I believe you're the strangest man I know because I'm looking at a meat pie. Sure. He's eating the gravy, the meat, the onions and the carrots inside.
Sure.
He's leaving.
No.
On a jet plane.
I'm looking at it.
You left the pastry.
The top was taken off.
He's going to have
how
it later.
How much top do you see there?
Oh, I see all of it.
No.
Oh, he donkey donkey. All right then.
There we go.
There it is, my man.
That's the treat.
Now later, I'll take the sides.
Yeah.
And the bottom.
Yeah.
And I'll combine those with what's left.
Mm.
It looks delicious.
Listen,
it's bloody.
It looks amazing.
And
amazing.
Julie Carroll,
I love
be
those.
Very pretty right now.
Those are dangerous because they always are very hot underneath the surface.
I'd like to think so.
Yeah. Oh, cool. Yeah. Well, it's because you're eating a meat pie while speaking with your native accent.
So we know them as a pot pie. It's like what we know them as a pot pie.
This is a beef pot pie in America.
Beef pot pie.
Yeah.
Beef pot pie.
And I've always liked pot pies, but it's just very hard because you cook it. And then it's like, it's lava, hot lava underneath, and you have to wait.
Let me tell you the difference between, like, so Australians are a little bit like...
criminals?
Like criminals. Yeah. Criminals, yeah.
Sorry, I'm pulling a Noel.
Yeah. I'm trying to be thoughtful in the way I say it, because I'm going to be immediately called out for just pointing out cultural differences and how people are, right? So let's see if I get canceled. Here we go.
Yeah. Okay, here we go.
So Veronica, she tells stories about when she was a kid, when she was real little and watching, you know, her nieces or young family. Mm. When you're a baby in a Hispanic family, you're given spices.
Oh yeah,
day one.
Oh sure,
right.
Like they're immediately giving you a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
To train your tongue to deal with the
to go, ooh, that's
spice. Because that flavor is so good.
Yes.
Right. Like I could never have my child miss out on this flavor because they can't deal with spice. So in Australia, instead of training the tongue to deal with spicy, they train our tongues to deal with incredible boiling heat.
This interesting. It can be confirmed because Noel is the only friend of mine that likes things at dangerously hot temperatures and can eat them.
Yeah.
And I don't understand
it.
It's
really?
Shocking.
Yeah, so we have our tea hot. Boil it and drink it. Do not wait.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Do not wait.
And then we go to a coffee place. Noel leans over to the barista and always says, extra hot.
Okay.
Like he has them kick it up.
My God, is that why every time we have coffee in the morning, he pre-boils a kettle to warm up
The mug
to hot freaking boiling temperatures so he can then pour his coffee
into
that.
And he will microwave it if he sat there for 5 minutes and
it
got a little and it gets a little too cool.
And I drink coffee
so much sense.
Like other people drink coffee, it's like a sipping drink. I drink coffee like Coke.
Like slamming it.
Yeah, I drink coffee fast. Wow. I drink tea fast.
It is a superhuman ability.
This when you take off the top, as you like to do.
All right.
You can see the boil.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
It's steamy. And most people, they say, wait 5 minutes. No.
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 You say,
No, mate. That's going in.
It's going in while it's hot. Crikey. Yeah.
I love it.
My gosh. So that's been the BioFriendly Podcast.
Yeah, thanks for listening. This week. This episode was called Hot Pot Pie.
Hot Pot Pie.
I'll be eating while we do the podcast.
Of course. Well, but once we get into science, you won't be able to resist.
No.
You can't. I know you.
Nolan is science.
So we have, this is another, you know, in a very interesting kind of, the scientific community is in an uproar. There's a lot of stuff going on.
This very week.
This is hot news. What? Just like your meal.
And that's why, ladies and gentlemen, I chose to have a pot pie right now.
Because
we wanted to emphasize the heat.
Bubbling.
So it literally
the natural watermelonus.
It literally says the official timekeepers of Earth history are in an uproar.
Uproar.
That's what I'm talking about. They're in an uproar.
You're kidding me. The timekeepers are in an uproar?
They're in an uproar. After a key scientific panel decided on March 4th that the planet's geologic timeline should not include a radical new chapter defined by human impacts, the Anthropocene.
They don't want it. The Anthropocene to be a thing.
They don't want it to be a thing.
This is why
they're in an uproar. And what I love about that description is the person who wrote this article was sitting there, and a bunch of calm scientists in lab coats were just like, I don't know if I agree with that, Carol. I think you have some valid points, Philip.
Carol and Philip.
I appreciate that, George. You know, like, that's what it was. And he was like, these guys are in an uproar.
listen to the frustration. Can you hear how it's going?
This is
barely respectful.
I think that the Anthropocene is a valid era, and I think we should include it. Well, I disagree with that, Frederick.
I see your point, Frederick.
Well, can you please give me some evidence, some evidence-based arguments? I'd be happy to do that for you there.
Listen to that fury, that rage, that uproar.
Nothing but rage.
So, in a vote.
Well, Stanley.
In a vote, the group of scholars responsible...
Wait, they voted on it?
They voted on it.
This is a vote.
This isn't based on...
Yeah. Okay, go ahead.
This happened March 4th, baby.
So in a vote...
They're voting to remove an era from history?
Well, no. It was a proposed addition. The Anthropocene was not yet officially, this is now the Anthropocene.
Yeah.
Okay. Right? That was going forward. We should call it that.
So in a vote, they basically said, now, should we or shouldn't we? And so this is why there's an uproar. It says, in a vote, the group of scholars responsible for delineating the past 2.6 million years of geologic history rejected a proposal that would mark the start of the Anthropocene epoch in the mid-20th century, when global trade, nuclear weapons tests, and rampant fossil fuel consumption radically altered the Earth. So they rejected that. That's the starting point. And here's where it goes.
Strap in, baby.
Again, this is hot.
Why?
Hot.
It's hot like a pie.
It's a logical time to start it.
But here's what they said. Researchers overwhelmingly agree that people have transformed the climate and put ecosystems in peril, right? They agree. Mm-hmm. But most members, now listen to this organization right here, this group, okay?
There we go.
But most members of the Subcommission on Quaternary Stratigraphy, which is a great band.
Yeah, Quaternary Stratigraphy.
The Subcommission of Quaternary Stratigraphy felt this age of humans should not be rigidly defined as an epoch. A stretch of geologic time that typically spans thousands or even millions of years.
They want some freedom to say that this might change.
So this is
what... That the situation may adjust.
As George Carlin said... The Earth will be fine. Humans, pack your bags, folks. Yeah. we might not be here.
This is why in that room between scientific teams, they are threatening to be at war. This is why they're going to stab each other.
Well, I can hear what Carol
just
said.
Really, can hear, right?
Frank was just ridiculous. And Stanley's response was
This is a quote from Philip Gibbard.
Philip.
A geologist at the University of Cambridge. He voted against the Anthropocene proposal.
Okay.
And he says, it suggests... Wait, he's British, though.
He's British.
Okay, I'm sorry.
It suggests
that all of a sudden, within my lifetime, the changes that are affecting the planet suddenly appeared. And then he says, but humans have in fact been influencing the natural environment for 40,000 years.
And you know what? He's got a good point.
So he's saying we can't start this in the middle of the 20th century. It's been going on since humans have been here.
Hmm.
And that's his beef. That's Philip Gibbard's
beef pie.
Beef pie.
That's so hot. Does he want to pause on starting the Anthropocene era, or does he want to shift it to an earlier period?
Well, let's there's a little twist ending.
Let's see, hear okay. how the story unfolds. This,
okay, dude, this is riveting.
I knew you'd be riveted.
I'm riveted.
Riveted.
Mm.
Yeah, absolutely.
I can't. I'm on the edge of my seat.
Yeah, yeah.
Noel's such a stratigraphy fan.
Yeah.
I cannot. Like, this debate is just
dude,
wowzer.
Dude, the subcommission
look at the passion.
On quaternary stratigraphy. Which that band we gotta start that band.
Quaternary stratigraphy definitely belongs on the list.
Yeah, definitely.
Other events in geologic history include the sudden surge of oxygen in the Earth's atmosphere 2.4 billion years ago, and the ancient profusion of biological diversity that led to many modern animal lineages. So those are some of the major times that we've changed, epics.
Right. Huge change. It's a new epic. I get it.
Though artists, activists, and academics have used the term Anthropocene for decades, the debate over its geological definition didn't begin in earnest until 2009, when the body that oversees Earth's 4.6 billion year timeline appointed a working group to investigate the idea. So they've been like, okay, are we really
in a new... So they're taking it seriously.
They're taking it very seriously.
Thank you.
Oh, did he have an oopsie?
I had a boo-boo.
Did he have an oopsie, little boo-boo?
I spilled a little bit of pot pie on the desk.
In a search that spanned from the mountain summits to the depths of the oceans, the Anthropocene Working Group, another organization, came in, brought in these guys.
The AWG.
AUG.
Wow.
Yeah.
Americans with groin problems?
Yes.
Oh, sorry. That's the AWGP.
Yes.
Not to be confused with.
And not to be confused with PAWG, which is fat ass white girl.
Uh-huh.
God dang it.
Mm-hmm. Right. I'm leaving that one in.
Sorry.
Screw you guys.
Sorry.
Screw you guys. I'm going home.
I'm going home.
The Anthropocene Working Group identified more than 100 distinct markers of how human activities...
No, I thought it was a Pasadena Anthropocene Working Group.
I'm so sorry. It's not Pasadena.
No, it's not the Pasadena.
Oh, so it's a different... Yeah. So POG means something different than
different,
I thought.
Yes.
Well,
this is a surprise
on.
To me.
Yeah.
I have been talking about POGs.
You have been researching POGs online... For decades.
For hours.
For
just
day.
Today. You guys said we're discussing POGs, and I thought... And so I was there doing my due diligence.
Doing my duty to research that booty.
I got to be honest. I'm into POG.
Yeah.
Pasadena.
Anthropocene Working Group.
Working Group, yep.
So it says... The Anthropocene Working Group identified more than 100 distinct markers of how human activities have left an imprint on Earth's geologic record. Air bubbles and Antarctic ice show the increasing concentration of carbon dioxide in the atmosphere, they said. Pollen grains at the bottoms of lakes documented how rising global temperatures were changing the composition of forests. A host of entirely new substances, microplastics, mine waste, the bones of a naturally large chicken could be found in almost every corner of the planet. So this is the Anthropocene Working Group. Walking in,
they're like, "Hey,
this is the sharks and the jets here.
Hey.
This is the two sides. They're standing on the opposite side of the lab, and they're snapping. They're going.
Their switchblades are their
facts." We're the Anthropocene Working Group. You gotta listen to what we choop. Choop, choop, a doop, poopily boop, whacka, whacka, diggy, backa, boop,
whacka, doo doo, yeah.
And
I hope our scientific podcast just lands into the hands of the Anthropocene Working Group and that other freaking
quadrant.
Yeah. That they hear this and they go, this is how they take our scientific discoveries?
This is the Earth we're talking about.
This is
here.
The Earth we're talking about. So through humanity's environmental impact stretches back millennia.
This pot pie is
spectacular. I said this wrong. Is it?
It looks good.
It looks
it's
good.
Just killing it.
It's making me hungry.
I'm sorry.
It's making me hungry. Though humanity's environmental impact stretches back millennia, the number and scale of these markers increased dramatically around 1950, the working group concluded. So this is their argument.
True.
Although these changes unfolded in a geologic eye blink, studies suggest that their effects would be incredibly long-lasting. If people disappeared tomorrow, it would take tens of thousands of years for atmospheric carbon concentrations to return to pre-industrial levels, right?
Sure.
And that meant that the climate and ecosystems of the Holocene epic, which began 11,700 years ago at the end of the last ice age, were gone for good.
Yeah.
In a formal proposal submitted in October, the working group suggested that the Anthropocene began in 1952 when the United States' first test of a thermonuclear bomb unleashed a plume of radioactive plutonium that circled around the world. That's their argument.
Wow.
Okay, I think I don't buy that.
You don't buy that. Okay, so this maybe, you may be on the other side.
Maybe I flipped on this bad boy.
And that's what's so hot about this episode.
Wow.
Hot. It's hot.
Wow. I mean, I was just listening to Becky over there.
Yeah. Yeah, you're getting...
She made a couple points.
Yeah. Because are they referring to Oppenheimer?
Yeah.
Well, no, they're referring to... who's the guy in Oppenheimer that was the guy who was like,
I want to do thermonuclear.
Yeah. They're like, no thermonuclear. It's right. The H-bomb he was talking about.
Okay.
When they unleashed the H-bomb.
Correct, you're right. No, you're right.
Okay. So it's Schoppenheimer?
Schoppenheimer!
Yeah.
What was his name?
Look at them searching for the thing. I'll vamp. Schoppenheimer. That's when you blow up the sail.
One of the brothers, the director brothers, who did. God, what's that called?
I hope a mini mall has a Schoppenheimer shopping event. You know, sails are blowing up.
We can't just sit here and have the audience wait while we sit here.
This
our minds for which physicists
this spring.
Made
check
the
out our greatest Schoppenheimer sale.
Schoppenheimer.
These deals are exploding
deals,
off the racks.
Deals. Benny Safdie played him.
Anyway, any hoosies. The contested vote, which was first reported by the New York Times, has exposed a deepening rift in the hidebound world of stratigraphy.
Strategery,
as the science of measuring geologic time. So this has opened up. Like there's a split. This is these gangs are forming.
Yeah.
We need to be prepared.
Sharks and the Jets. Let's go.
Yeah. Unless the ICS overturns the decision, the subcommission's rejection represents the end of the line for the working group's current effort. So working group is kind of backed against the wall, and they're saying this is all we got. That's our argument. But that doesn't mean the age of humans has no place in geology research. That's not what the other side is saying.
Yeah.
It is being advocated that the Anthropocene to be defined as a geologic event, a looser term that can describe phenomena.
As opposed to an epic.
That unfold in multiple places at different times.
Right.
Edward Teller?
Mic drop.
Teller.
Yes. Penn and Teller.
Yes.
Penn and Teller. They do magic in Vegas.
Yes. Yes. Thank you.
Okay. Yes. Teller was the
Teller H-bomb was that guy.
H-bomb.
We got there. We got there. I usually try not to drop H-bombs on the podcast. I stick to F-bombs solely.
But there it was. Yeah. Okay, so...
Yeah, I'm really intrigued to hear what you think, Mr. Nulli, you know.
I knew this would get you going, man.
Do you know what's fascinating about it?
What?
Is it... Okay, this is going to be the most rudimentary, like, stupid pop culture example.
As long as it's rude, rudimentary.
Yeah, it's totally rude.
Be really rude
totally
about
rude,
it.
Totally rude, man. Yeah. Everybody sucks.
This is true.
No, okay, when The Crown was released, does anyone remember Netflix? This is a Netflix
series. It's one of my wife's favorite shows.
I've never seen an episode.
I also love it. I love it because we're part of the Commonwealth in Australia.
So. Yeah, but of course.
And
you have an uncle that lives out there.
Yeah, that's right. So we still recognize the Queen.
Lovely.
Well, the King now.
Although King Charles.
No, looks like maybe we're having a new king again
soon. Poor old boy with his prostate.
Dealing with some cancer.
Dreadful.
Dreadful. Horrible. Dreadful. But before all of that, the Queen was alive. The Crown came out.
Yes.
And they asked the Queen what she thought about The Crown. She said, I'm not watching it. And they're like, oh, that's too bad. It's getting really great reviews. It says it's pretty thoughtful and accurate and not too rude. And she's like, I just don't understand why people have to make a biography about me before I'm dead.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. And that's what this makes me think of.
Okay.
Interesting.
Yeah. If we look at every other epic,
yeah,
we're deciding on those now, right, after they've happened. We're trying to define geologically what's occurred over the last 4.5 billion years,
right?
And so we've come up with systems to decide what those are, and what events cause them, and how long they last, and what events stop them and start the next one. Right.
Okay. Right.
So I think that because there's a lot of concern about the environment, there's a lot of concern about what we're doing to the planet because of the industrial age.
It is on everybody's minds,
right,
every day.
So they're like, well, look what we've done. We have just launched the new epic, right?
Right.
but why are you telling a story about me before I'm dead?
That's a really interesting point. Right. It's almost like we're not thinking globally. We're literally like looking at the now.
Well, we're not thinking historically, right?
Like, right.
Like we got to know.
When oxygen was introduced to the atmosphere 2.6 billion years ago,
yeah.
that happened and that was huge.
That was right. that begins
an epic.
An epic. Right.
So I think what you're saying is that the fault lies on them for choosing this stupid job because they're bored. That's what I'm getting from this, because they chose a job where they have to wait billions of years, and they're like, what are we supposed to do? And they're trying to dream up names and eras, but it's like, you're not supposed to do anything until we're gone, and so they're bored. This sub-commission
they're gonna
of
sit
quaternary
in their offices twiddling
stratigraphy
their thumbs for 2 billion years.
Like at a job, if they say, hey, we can't run the marketing plan for the 2025 Ford Fusion until 2025, they're sitting there, and they're like, well, we got nothing to do for the next billion years. What are we supposed to do? We're just going to name this era. That's what you're saying.
Yes. I'm saying you told me to be rudimentary. Rude.
So, rudimentary.
Yeah, you just covered it for me.
I tried.
No, I'm just kidding. There's a lot.
These are all jokes. We care about you.
Of course.
We care about you.
Of course you do. This is a huge debate. You know, we gotta laugh a little bit, or just the tension. You cut it with a knife.
You cut it with a knife. You can feel it from here.
Oh my God! Taut strings everywhere you look.
Yeah, yeah.
I think that it's just difficult to define when is the new epic and know what exactly caused it and what's involved in it until a billion or so years have passed.
Yeah, yeah.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
And when we're probably all gone. So really, it doesn't actually matter.
No, and I think that's kind of, it's such a horrible thing to say when you're talking about science, but in the end, who cares?
At the end of the day, okay, let's pretend that George Carlin was in fact right.
Yeah.
Planet moves on, and maybe our whole entire reason for human beings to exist is that we excrete plastic. That's the whole thing, right? Mm-hmm. And then suddenly all the humans go, poof, we're gone, right?
Right.
Our notion of science is gone too.
Yeah,
that's true.
Yeah, but at some point, some species will evolve to the point where they have enough intelligence that they look at things and want to try to understand it better. And when they do so, they're going to look back in history and they're going to see a whole lot of plastic in a period of time and be like, "Oh, look at this fossilized plastic!" And then they're going to decide that this is an era, this is an epic.
This is what happened. Yeah. Something excreted all this plastic in the George Carlin
example,
thing.
Yeah. I mean, I just don't like labels. I just don't like labels.
Don't
label my epic. That's the thing, is I feel like they're just trying to label this epic, and it's like, just don't label me.
Yeah. Just don't label that epic.
I think that it doesn't, I don't think that the NWA should stop working. Sorry, the POGs?
P-A-W-G. Pasadena Anthropocene Working Group.
Right.
Yeah.
Look, man, study what's going on. I mean, it's a good idea to understand what we're dealing with in terms of carbon, in terms of radioactivity, in terms of all the rest of it. Why not, right?
Yeah,
if someone's willing to fund you,
doesn't
matter that someone says that this is not that era. Well, you know, change your name.
If it's your job,
change your name to
the
Massive International Living Foundation, MILF.
Absolutely. Make sure that you bookmark that
and
for
bookmark
your search
that for your searches. And look, and then go be that instead for a while.
Yeah. I mean, the thing I do actually like about it is that it
Great
has
call.
Been.
Thank you.
It is now being defined as a geologic event. You know, it's not like this whole massive epic. Now it's kind of like, okay, so it's a geologic event.
Yeah, and
humankind
and in another
is a geologic event, right? They're even saying that.
Yeah, the dropping of the hydrogen bomb is their
argument. 1952 onward, pretty much.
Or the testing of the hydrogen bomb.
So it's not, it might not be an epic, because we got to see if this thing will last over a few more years from
now. What will it do? If it's 10,000 years, it's a blink. It's nothing.
Yeah.
It's nothing.
Right.
Yeah.
Literally a blink.
Right. So, so it's difficult. It's difficult probably if you are excited about something, you're like, hey, this is going to start this whole thing. But you don't actually know until you know.
Yeah, you don't know until the end.
Geological science.
God, it's
you really are better off just looking at the past.
You don't know what you got till
it's gone.
Yeah,
there's a reason those lyrics exist.
Unless you're looking for precious metals and oil and things like that, then keep up with your geology and go tell them where to dig.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. You tell them.
Yeah, but I mean, if you want to study dinosaurs.
You know, do that.
Yeah, you want to figure out what's going to happen to this glacier?
Do
you
that. Know,
there's a lot to do in geology. A lot to do.
Do that.
Do that. And a lot to do.
I want us to go to a career day at school and just have Noel say that and Clayton stand behind him. And after everything he says,
if you
want to,
if you want to go study dinosaurs, do that. If you want to flip a pizza, do that.
You want to dig for diamonds?
Do that.
Geology is a beautiful subject, kids. Beautiful subject.
Thank you. I'm out. Mic drop.
Lot to do. Enjoy it. I hope you learn something. F*** you.
Dang, damn it.
This is our most most controversial episode we've done in a long time. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Clayton. We got on a tear today.
No, it is okay.
I think it is really funny when you look at your career path. And you're like, well, God, we're dealing in blocks of time that are a minimum of 100 million years.
Yeah,
kind of at some point you have to be like, how could we know?
How could we know?
Yeah. How could we know?
Yeah.
Right.
We're pretty sure. We think we don't. Yeah, but who knows? Yeah.
Because at every single twist and turn of the world's history, every single thing that you think is gonna go does not.
Yeah.
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 Just shifts.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good shift, guys. Good shift. Good shift.
But a fascinating topic, and that debate sounded
right.
Just.
I mean, woo! I
wish I could have been a fly on the wall in that room.
I have to cool down.
Carol
after that.
Frank.
Have to go for a walk and just get my head straight because I just feel like I've just witnessed so much hostility.
I know.
Between
two
groups.
Well, particularly with Nancy as the hype woman in the background.
Oh, my
she
God.
Was.
Do that.
Yeah.
Do that.
She was. Just was bananas.
Clayton, somehow isolate you saying do that. Isolate it so that I can have that audio clip and just use it whenever I want. We need one of those soundboards. Where
yes.
Like
a morning zoo.
Because like when you say do that, there's just the way it sounds when you say it. It makes me laugh. And so I love the idea of like anytime I need it, I just says, do that. it's so good. So good.
Oh my God, man.
Well, that's the pod. That's the podcast.
We did it?
We did it.
What? How long is this one?
Well, this one for
all intents and purposes.
28 minutes.
28, gosh, what?
Still,
I mean, that's not good. Small. It's small potatoes. It's like a medium size, like a Yukon Gold potato.
Yeah.
But here's what I'd say about this one.
It's a quality potato. Even that's a good potato.
Even though we're just under half an hour.
Sometimes you don't need the potato to be like that big, okay?
Right,
sometimes.
Right. Sometimes.
Hey.
My potato's
fine.
Sometimes 28-minute potatoes.
They're just what you need.
Some people like misshapen and curved to the left a little bit.
You
it's
know?
Fine. It's fine.
Do I bleep that or do I? I don't know what to do.
Or do I go?
I don't know what to do with that.
Yeah.
I'm beginning to think that.
I think if it looks like a ginger root, you're fine.
I'm not even kidding. I'm beginning to think that the Biofriendly Podcast almost itself needs to have a new name because it is getting into this, like, you know what I mean? Like, we've been on for all these years, but now this is becoming like,
Biofriendly After Dark.
It's got an edge to it. It's got a little bit of a...
Bio nastier.
It's got a little bit of a, ooh, yeah.
Ooh, yeah.
That
yeah.
I feel like, I don't know, we should consider. I don't know, maybe we should ask the audience.
How about
Bio
Naughty?
Bio Naughty Podcast.
Or no, we're not too naughty. It's just like the days of the Biofriendly Podcast felt like we were definitely catering to like the young people. And now I feel like we've gone like, eh.
Well, now that all of our kids are like in that age where they can watch Naked Gun.
I think it is our kids have gotten older. And that in the time that we put the show on, our kids were very young and now they're older and you're like, eh, they can handle it.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But we're not thinking about other people's kids anymore.
No. They don't exist.
Yeah, because other people have, you know, kids.
I guess so. Yeah. But those kids grew up too.
Yeah. What's insane to me is that I'm the one arguing for let's not do that, and I'm the one who does the most naughty nonsense on the show.
That's classic Noel.
It is weird.
That's classic Noel.
That's classic Noel. Yeah.
Anyway. Well.
I don't know.
Well, write in. We're going to keep
writing. Write in. Send us a letter.
Write in. Send us a letter.
Tell us your thoughts.
We will only accept it if you send it by mail.
By mail.
To
North Lake.
Yeah, to North Lake.
Suite 870, Pasadena, California, 91101.
Yeah. Send us a letter.
Care of Jacob Givens.
Yes, care of me.
Yeah. Biofriendly Corp. Send that letter in, and if your letter is inspiring enough, we will change the show.
Dear God, could you imagine if somebody actually writes in?
I'm reading it on the air, so be prepared for that.
That's a good idea.
What if you send a letter, it's going public.
What if we had a Harry Potter level of like the mailbox is so overflowing that all, the mailman can't even keep up. It's literally like 100,000 letters a day.
Yeah. Can we make that a policy? If you in fact write a letter in, we have to read it on air.
Yes.
Okay. Until the
until Ted Kaczynski writes in and gives a manifesto.
No, I'll read his manifesto. On okay. Air. Yeah, okay. That's fine. The problem is not reading the content, because I think that's a good rule. And I think as of today, the answer to that question is yes. My concern is that as we start to read them on the air, people are going to be like, "Oh my God, they're going to read what I write. I should put this on the air. I'm going to be on the BioFriendly podcast," and we'll start getting like 10 letters.
And then all of our podcasts are just reading letters.
So then the second podcast.
The second podcast is called BioFriendly Letters.
BioFriendly Letters. Yes, but I mean, like I said, 10 is a joke, but like what happens when it's thousands?
Yeah. What happens when thousands. We get a lot?
Yeah. Sure.
You know what I'm saying?
That'll happen.
Hey, Facebook.
Hey, dude, that's true.
Facebook.
No, you're right.
That's what we are.
Yeah.
Facebook.
Yeah, we are.
We're talking, you know, we went from just a small little thing, and then all of a sudden, everybody in the entire world uses the service. So
and then kablam! Now we have to read everyone's letter. Like I just feel like if we make it, I don't think we can make it a policy, but yeah. I think we could make it a thing. For a while.
Okay. Well, it's kind of like, okay, is it an epic? No, it's a geological event.
It's an event.
It's not a policy, but it's a thing.
It's a thing we do.
We'll do a thing.
Good.
If you write us a letter and you send to the address that I just gave you, never giving it again.
Okay,
that's it.
That's
the one.
If you send it to that address, then we will read it on the air.
Deal.
It's part of what we do.
Deal. With that. Thank you for listening to the BioFriendly podcast after all this time. We appreciate you.
We do.
We hope you come back for more.
Tell your friends we're not going anywhere. We're back.
We're back.
We're back and spicier than ever.
Spicier
and hotter than ever.
And that's
like
the
just
thing.
Actually hot.
And that's the thing is
the Guatemalan-ness.
Goal is just like we told earlier is to introduce you with the spices at a very young age. We're trying to start you young.
So bring your children
and you'll be ready for anything in life.
And they'll know. All the good jokes. They'll know if they listen to the last podcast, they'll hear a real humdinger.
Yeah, real humdinger. So, we are your beacon of light in a gloomy environment.
The dumbest, smartest podcast in existence.
When you see an episode, be excited because we'd be busy up here.
Bringing the science of funk.
Yeah, we did it.
All right.
See you next time.
It's the BioFriendly podcast. It's the BioFriendly podcast.